Babelsberg is a beautiful place. Our kids were raised in Babelsberg. And this is a place where they learn about God. All the kids come together and learn about God.
Father's love has helped many, many, many women like Tamia and I and more, especially with the Bible studies and everything that they have for us, just as well as my grandkids. My grandkids has moved to this place ever since they were younger. She took Mortonville over, and this is where my grandkids come from Mortonville. Father's love is an awesome place for anybody that has children or even a single mother that just want a Bible study or just want the love of Father's love. This has been a wonderful place for it.
Thank you so much for paying a tune to that video. I just love these testimonial videos. And I have a wonderful announcement to make today. One of the fun things of being a lead pastor of you, this Living Waters Church family, is to give glory to God for the generosity that comes out of your hearts and lives. God has blessed us in this first offering towards such a time as this. And we have begun a pattern these last several years. It's a biblical pattern. King David did this when they were collecting wealth for the building of God's temple in Jerusalem. And he made an offering. His officials made an offering. They told the whole people of the land, and they were just amazed at the generosity of the leadership. And then the people gave offerings, and it just erupted with more and more levels of generosity. And that's what we've done, and that's what we have done this week with the leadership offering. And so in a moment, I'm going to announce that. But remember, we have in 1 week, November 8th, for such a time as this, we have three goals that the board felt was the right prayer goals to set for this offering: a faith goal of $24,000, a hope goal for additional six at $30,000, and an additional six above that, the love goal, $36,000. And these board members in the leadership offering and the finance committee, it's a small group of leaders, but they have prayed and they have made their commitment to the Lord and given unto the Lord. And so in this next slide, I want to show you the number that the leadership offering received this week. And it was $19,105. Woohoo! Amazing. And I said, did you check that number twice? I'm going to be sure that's right. I mean, the abundance of generosity from your leaders is amazing. And that tells me several things. One is, in this process of the leadership transition of Father's Love, and it's really been a several-year process, and the board's been in on it that much more these last number of months, they have a witness that this is the right time, this is the right way. We have the right couple, Gerald and Michelle Terrell, and so this is the right time to sow into this ministry, to give it a great start in this transition time as it grows and develops over in 2021. So that's one thing. The other thing is a confirmation that the people of God who've already been seeking them have heard from heaven, had the freedom to release that spirit of generosity out of their homes, their finances, their families. And so that's what we're praying for you, that you just have that freedom to wait on the Lord, to pray about it as a husband and wife and as a family. And over this week, make that final decision to follow the Lord in your giving. And so that's what we'll do. We'll receive it next Sunday, and then we'll collect it and make that announcement of what it was as soon as we can get those numbers together to you. Wow. I just love doing this. It's just to give God glory like this. So let's go ahead and pray over our tithes and offerings as you're giving here, there at the back in the boxes or online at home. As far as giving online to Father's Love, we do have that option on the online webpage. There's a drop-down menu. You go to that, it says Father's Love, so you can do that this week, and that will be directed toward this special offering of such a time as this. All right, let's pray. Well, Father, we just rejoice at your spirit of freedom and generosity that is already pouring out over the Father's Love transition and the future promise that you have for this ministry. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for all that Miss Marty has sowed into it and how, Lord, it's bearing fruit. Even this is a sign of bearing much fruit of all the seeds that she's planted, Lord God. Father, we look to you to continue to lead our church people, our family at home, and as they work through the numbers and the discussions, Lord God, Father, Lord, you be in the midst and give each person peace so they can give obediently to you. And Lord God, we pray, Lord God, in our tithes and offerings today, Lord, we give unto you to a spiritual kingdom. Lord, we give, Lord God, so that you can use these dollars and cents, Lord God, to spread your kingdom throughout Kentucky, throughout our region, throughout Israel, Taiwan, Honduras, and throughout the world, Lord God. It is a privilege to give into your kingdom. Use this offering now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay. Fantastic. Oh, man. I tell you, I am just in a place with the Lord. And I know many of you are too, where the whole body of Christ is just increasing in prayer. There with the 2020 pandemic, racial issues, and the election. And I'm really grateful that the grace of God is there. And yet I can tell you and be honest with you that prayer is one of the hardest things for Stephen Riley to do. It is such a challenge for me, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But I'm starting a series on prayer, and this particular one, the topic for this one is called Prayer God Sightings. God Sightings, and I'll explain that later. We are, like I said, in a place of prayer in the body of Christ at large that I, as your pastor, really believe it is the single most important function you must have in your life. And one of the reasons, as a pastor, that prayer connects the body of Christ. Prayer connects us to support one another in each other's needs. Prayers actually help us track with people in their lives. And I have felt over these last 7 months, as a pastor, more disconnected from you than ever before. I see you less often. I have less conversations with you. I have less opportunity to catch up on things that I'm aware of and catch you after service or something. And so as a pastor and the elders, we have been seeking God on what to do differently in these coming months and here at the end of this year, going into the next year. And that is what we're just calling Prayer Bridge. Prayer Bridge is so simple. It's so easy. It's almost too easy, but it's going to be so important in the strengthening and the connecting of the body of Christ at Living Waters, something that we need more than ever. And all it is, and if you've heard of prayer groups before, it's kind of a variation of that. But it's a little different where we're on paper and you'll be getting phone calls, just putting several men together, several women together, 3, 4, 5 in these little groups, and asking you just to get together by phone, Zoom, or in person once a month, and then a couple of weeks later, connect again by a group text or group email to follow up and just pray for one another. Maybe you don't have anything to pray about that week. That's great, but your prayers and praying for someone else and tracking with that over the next couple of weeks is viable. It's crucially important in this season of Living Waters and really the church at large. And so I'm asking for everybody to feel this importance of it. And I hope that every single person participates. Not a single one is left out, because I want to connect you a couple of times a month with praying people. You know, Jesus said, and he's quoting an Old Testament prophecy when he was cleaning out the temple of the thieves that were charging too much and just making the temple a place of money exchange and making money. He said to them, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've been making it a robber's den." And he's saying, you are called to be a house of prayer. Stephen Riley's called to be a house of prayer. Living Waters called to be a house of prayer. And we're not limited by a space, by a building. We can be that house of prayer every day and with one another. And so this prayer bridge is a new and very important, really foundational ministry for Living Waters Church. Another thing is happening. You've heard over now for several months that we're leading the way. I've been working with a few pastors trying to get started unceasing prayer in our county. That a church will take a day of the month, and we're the first Monday, and I'm praying for 30 or more churches in this region to take a day a month. So we're having every day, if not every hour, covered in unified prayer. This is happening in other cities, and God is breaking down walls of division, and God is also breaking forces of darkness over crime and drug use. It's been amazing what's happened in these cities. And with the help of Philip Whitehead and his business in mega marketing, he's developed a website, and I encourage you to go there today or even right now on your phone, KentuckyPraise.org. And this website is one that I've just shared this week with some pastors. And I want to tell you, as I've been talking about this for a couple of months with some pastors, we have now three other churches that have taken a day a month. Hey, now let's give a hand clap to the Lord for that, all right? Because we were one, now we're four, okay? And let's not despise small beginnings. And that's four out of 30 days covered, all right? And this website, pray over that God will use it. But one thing you need to know on this, if you go scroll down, there's a section called prayer lists. And you've already seen some of the prayer lists, but a couple of those are new, and they'll be getting updated. The America Prays one is the most popular one that's out in many cities. We have a new one, a prayer for schools on there. And then another one that's for Freedom Ministries for those who are battling addictions. And that one I'm developing, and that prayer list will grow. And so the prayer lists are really a powerful piece of this. So you're praying in unity with others. All right. you guys are the seeds. Living Waters was the seeds of the first ones who said, I'm willing to be a prayer warrior and intercessor for this region. You were the first. So let's pray these seeds grow. And we, you know, it gets into 30 plus churches. And, you know, I really don't care how long it takes. I'm going to run the journey, you know, and just trust God in this. Well, I know we're praying for godly, righteous leaders in our country. And this is the last few more days of voting. You can still vote. I understand Monday, early voting. And then Tuesday, you have your several locations. Check in your area where that is. And I want to say that God works in the political realm. If you look at what's happened now in these last few weeks of President Trump's presidency, that he has appointed, and she got approved, Amy Coney Barrett, for the Supreme Court Justice, a pro-life justice. I want to say, praise God, he answers prayer. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Folks, this is a 47-year Roe versus Wade ruling in our judicial system that through a presidency and the timing of all that, God has allowed an appointment of a pro-life justice. I tell you, Lord, thank you. He answers prayer, folks. 47 years since 1973, Christians have been praying that this would be, the Supreme Court justice would turn. And it's taken 47 years. And now we need to pray that God opens doors for the judicial system to work righteously on behalf of unborn children. But I want to tell you, God is answering prayers in the political realm overseas in the Middle East. Do you realize it's been over 25 years and anyone in Israel or in the Middle East would think that there would be any peace treaties of any significance? And the experts are shocked that, again, through President Trump's actions and the alliance that the United States have portrayed over the past 4 years with America to Israel, that there is shockwaves all over the Middle East, that there are peace treaties coming together with Israel and Arab nations. So it was back in the end of December of, or December 2017, but in May 2018, that President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, saying that we recognize Jerusalem as the capital. Now that did, and I was doing some reading about experts. What was so significant about that is, for one, many presidents said they would do it and never did, cowered under, you know, the nervousness of ruffling too many feathers in the Arab world. But what happened was, is that says to the Arab world, even though Iran and a couple other terroristic radical leaders would say, we want Israel to be pushed back into the sea, to be destroyed, to disappear. But they're just a new nation that's come and gone. We're going to push them out of here. They're going to disappear in the sea. Now, with Jerusalem being the capital and being the strongest nation in the world, saying we recognize Jerusalem, saying no, Israel's not going anywhere. Jerusalem's not going anywhere. This is their capital. They're a permanent nation. And so Arab countries, and well, not just Arab countries, but a handful of countries also moved their embassies at then recognized Jerusalem as the capital back then in 2018. And then these peace treaties, three of them have happened so far. United Arab Emirates, the Kingdom of Bahrain, and Sudan, where they say, we want a normal relationship. We want peaceful relationships so we can have trade. We don't have to be enemies. We don't have to fight each other and do these different things that we're trying to hurt each other. No, we can work together and bless our people together. And so this is historical. It's blowing the minds of the Middle East and the experts. God answers prayer. It's been 16 years that the day to pray of peace of Jerusalem has been established by Robert Stearns, our good friend, and Jack Hayford. And of course, believers years before that, ever since Israel was established as a nation in 1948, believers have been praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And they haven't seen much peace, folks. But these treaties are mind-blowing. It is amazing the potential of how God can use these peace treaties and bless Israel and the Middle East. God answers prayer. Let's give God another big hand clap here and give him thanks. Woo! I love it. And it's scripturally, there's several places where God says in his word, the Old Testament, that he will bless those who bless Israel. He will curse those that curse Israel. And so I want to tell you folks that this is a good place to be in America, that we have reason to be blessed by God because of this blessings over the peace of Jerusalem. So we are going to, in these next about 4 weeks, dig into prayer in a different angle, a different approach. And that is, I'm going to focus on us praying the scriptures. Praying the scriptures. And praying the scriptures is really an ancient practice. It's something that maybe you haven't done much or don't quite understand, and you'll get the hang of it as we get into each week. But praying the scriptures is something that Wesley Campbell, he's a pastor and writer out of Canada. He's written a couple prayer books that I've used also. And then he points his finger and credit to Mike Bickle, who has been so prevalent in teaching about praying the scriptures. But there's some reasons why we want to pray for scriptures. One, because it gives you confidence in what you're praying, because you're praying the word of God. And it gives you confidence, I'm praying God's will for that person or that situation. And so it builds your confidence as you pray. Another reason, there's many, I'm just doing a couple, is that the scriptures give you content and terminology on what to pray. Because you're praying the scriptures in the terms of scripture in that situation, in that area. And that's why in the on the website, KentuckyPraise.org, KYPraise.org. We put in the prayer list scripture references typed out. So you can, when you pray something, you can go ahead and read that scripture. It gives you content and terminology and confidence you're praying God's will. And it helps fill that hour. You signed up for an hour. You think, how am I going to pray for our county and local issues for an hour? Well, you copy those, print out those prayer lists, and you read and pray them as you're reading them, and you won't get done. You need more than an hour. And it gives you content to fill that space. You know, I mean, you sit down and pray, and you're going, God bless this county. God bless this county. Help this county. Help us in this county. Lord God, bless us. And you're a minute in. I don't know what else to pray. But scriptures give you that content to pray. There are several types of scriptures, categories of scriptures that are really good to pray over. One is the prayers of Jesus. Yeah, he had a lot of prayers, didn't he? Let's study those. We'll take a Sunday to do that. We'll do apostolic prayers. These are unique prayers because these are the founding fathers of the early church in the book of Acts and Apostle Paul in his letters, where they prayed certain prayers that build these brand new Christians to become a strong foundation of the whole church for years and centuries to come. And so these are prayers that will build you up and edify you and your family and get you strong. Of course, there's wisdom prayers out of the book of Proverbs and other places where they're jam-packed with wisdom, and we need wisdom every stage of our life. And there's prayers from the Psalms that are heartfelt, passionate prayers and that we can relate to. And then there's the theophanies. Theophanies, what's that, Stephen? Who's heard of that word? Yeah, I know it. It's not a word we use very often, and me neither. But the definition of a theophany is this. It's a visible manifestation of a deity. It's visible, something you see, and it's either by vision or you're there and you actually can see it as it is, a vision of God and what he's like and what he's doing and what's coming out of him and who's around him, what's happening around him. And a good little way just to put a different word on it, theophanies are God sightings. Sightings of God and what he's like and what he's doing. And these are in Scripture. They're in the Old and in the New Testament. Here's kind of a list. If you're taking some notes because you want to look up some of these, and they're actually more than this, but these are ones that give more specific detail, last a little bit longer. Like Moses and the burning bush in Exodus. Moses in the Ten Commandments when he's receiving them. That's Exodus 19 and 20. Moses and when the glory of God passes by him. That's Exodus 33 and 34. Ezekiel has two visions of God in chapter 1 and chapter 10. Daniel has one of the Ancient of Days in chapter 7 and then the heavenly man in chapter 10. And then as we're going to look at a couple of these today in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And chapter 4 and then chapter 19 is when Jesus comes back on a white horse with an army behind him. What an awesome God sighting in Scripture. Why pray or even bother with God sightings in Scripture? Why do it? One is you see God as he is in heaven. You see, because we read in the gospel how what God is like on his 3 years of ministry on earth. And we need to know the gospels, right? But remember, what God is in heaven is an ancient vision of what he's like, a present and a future. This is the setting. This is an environment where it's always been. And we get to see him as he is right now before us, both God the Son and God the Father as king on their thrones. And it's the Holy Spirit bringing this revelation out in Scripture. So the Holy Spirit said, I want you to see the Son in his glory and the Father on his throne. I want you to see this, and I'm going to give you some specifics to build you up. So we need to see God in heaven. Another reason we need to look at these God sightings carefully in Scripture is because who else can we turn to? Who are we turning to? When is it we just get so discouraged or at the end of our rope, where the resources we've been looking toward have failed, where the people are around us may be good and well-wishing, but they're not strong enough to pull us out of this pit? Who do we turn when we feel hopeless and powerless, backed up in a corner? We need to see who God is in heaven, where he stands, where he sits on his throne, because in our despair, we have one who's fine sitting on the throne. He is stable. He is strong. And we need to be able to appeal to him and look to him and trust in him and surrender all things under his lordship. So he's the one that we can turn to. Another one is, it's for transformation of heart and soul. That's right. That this is what happened to the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul. He was a zealous persecutor of Christians. He wanted them killed. He wanted them arrested. And he was actually on the road to another city called Damascus with a team of soldiers to go arrest Christians. And he hated them with a passion. And he had a quick, sudden theophany where the light of God shined so bright, it threw him off his horse. And the voice that he heard and spoke to him was the voice of Jesus. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? And that light was so bright, that light of God was so bright, it blinded him for 3 days until he got prayed for. His life was transformed in that moment, and he changed from one kingdom. This was a transformation of salvation. He went from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But God wants to transform you and me. I'm asking God to transform my prayer life. It is one of the areas that I've been frustrated with myself and discouraged as much as any other area of my spiritual walk. It is one that I kind of go in waves and I go up and down and then I take two steps forward, one step forward, two steps back. I have to continually ask God to give me perseverance and not quit and give up. Because I have a desire in my heart to grow consistently in prayer, to have these encounters with God in my prayer time. But I found when I am dealing with stress that my mental capacity, prayer gets pushed out first in my mind. That the disruptions, the distractions, the worries of life, those thoughts invade my time. And I'm sitting on my sofa with my Bible and my journal, and my mind is so distracted that I battle just to pray. And time can go on, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I got to go. And I hardly said any prayers at all. If you're an extreme extrovert, you particularly know how hard it is to focus. Like me, if you have issues with as a worry wart or anxiety, then these thoughts, they come in and it pushes out your prayer life. Lord Jesus, change me. I don't want this to be like this. I want to stay the course. I want to stay faithful in pursuing you in prayer. Lord, I repent of a lack of prayer, and I ask you to empower and refresh these times of prayer, not just in the morning time, but Lord, also during the day and the night, all day and night, 24 hours. So let's go ahead to a theophany, a God sighting in Revelation chapter 1. Turn with me there. Go with me in your phone. Get there. I want you to see these scriptures. And what's going on here, and I'll just kind of summarize what's happening before we get to verse 12. We'll read verse 12 in a moment. But what's happening is the Apostle John is waiting on the Lord on Sunday. It says on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. And it says he's on the island of Patmos. Now, legend says that he was the longest living of the 12 apostles. That he was persecuted greatly, and the Romans tried to get rid of him, even kill him, even tar him and kill him, but they couldn't. And so they put him on this island of Patmos, which was a barren island for criminals, where they had mines there and they would just put them to labor in mines, and that was an awful place to live. And perhaps God kept him alive for these theophanies, for these God sightings, to give, written them down and get them to us so that we would have them, because we would need them in our walk with God, in our prayer life. And it says that he heard a loud voice, and we'll start reading at verse 12. It says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And his right hand had seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength." Wow. There's something for you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ clothed in his glory. Going back to verse 14, there's so much light in him that his hair is white like wool, like snow. And his eyes are like flames of fire. There's a lot of fire in heaven. And some of it is just coming right out of his eyes. That when he looks at you, he is a consuming fire. And what he looks like, he's consuming, he's purifying. Every look of Jesus is a purifying look of his fire. Even the fire on his feet was so great that his feet looked like glowing bronze that just came out of a furnace. And his voice was the sound of many waters. I don't know if you guys have been to Niagara Falls before, or some other just large waterfall. When you're at Niagara Falls, the sound can be deafening the closer you get. You feel the power out of the sound. The vibrations of the sound is just like there's something powerful over there. What is it? It's the sound of many waters. It's constant. It's roaring. It's not a break. A waterfall doesn't have a break and rest for a while. It's pouring out, and this sound is roaring. Or at the beach. Now, if you go to the Gulf and it's one of those calm days, there's not much roaring of many waters. There's just a little lap here and there, a little lap of water, and it's peaceful. It's wonderful, isn't it? But if you've been on an ocean where it's a rough day and there's waves coming in, crashing one after the other, it's the sound of power and strength pounding the shore. It says, out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword, which means every word that comes out of his mouth has the ability to go deep within us and discern, is there truth in us or not? And to cut out those things that are untrue and ungodly. His sword is pure, and it does defeat to every evil thing in its way. But I want to mention something about his face. It's like the sun shining in its strength. Again, he is light, and it's bursting out of his face. But just the other day, and even though this is like many of my days in the fall and the autumn, I love getting out in the sun, even just for 5 minutes. And the temperatures are dropping. It's kind of getting cool outside. But that place where the sun is shining, you're drawn to it. Our cats are drawn to it, right? Whatever the sun is shining in the living room, they're there. You know, they're laying down there and they follow that shadow, you know, they stay out of the shadows and they move along and stay in the sun. And I felt it this week. It was the breeze was blowing a little bit. It was kind of chilly. But if you got in the sun and you faced it directly and you didn't have any shadows or in the shade, you could feel the warmth and you were just drawn to the warmth. His face, that's just a little taste of what his face is like. There's this warmth. There's this glory. There's the drawing. You want to just get in the face. You just want to huddle up to it. It's just you're drawn to His face. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what He is. He is something that is beyond words that we have ever seen on earth. He's in a different place. But even then, He's willing to give us and impart to us portions of His glory. A few weeks ago, I used this as a text. It's out of Matthew 13. It's at the end of a parable, Matthew 13, 43. And what it says is this, is at the end times when the tares are growing, the wheats are growing, and they'll have to just wait till the end of the harvest, the last day's harvest, to get the wheat. And it says, in this time of great harvest, it says, verse 43, that the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom, S-U-N. Our faces will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So God gives us these bits of His glory, and our prayer life, and our persistence to not quitting and getting more in these scriptures will help you bring a new dynamic to your prayer, praying scriptures. You will shine this glory of His Son, shine like His face shines. Our face will shine. This is what He does. He imparts to us. That's why His work is what justifies us and sanctifies us by His blood. It's not ours. We can be like Him and grow to be like Him. Let's look further on in this chapter. What happens to John? What does he do when he, you know, turns around? He sees this magnificent being. And it says in verse 17 of Revelation 1, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his hand on me saying, do not be afraid. See, this same type of thing happened in Daniel 10. Daniel 10, Daniel was waiting before the Lord. A heavenly man comes down. The descriptions are about identical. And there is this trembling, there is this dread of the presence of this power, of this authority, of this holiness, of this holy being. And it says in Daniel chapter 10 that Daniel fell on his face without strength. He just had no strength. His body, it just lost his strength and he just fell to the ground. The power of God just came over him and he fell to the ground. Men who didn't see the figure, only Daniel saw it, but he said they felt the power and they were trembling and dreading and they ran and they escaped out of there. It was so powerful and fearful. So there's a presence that comes with the being. And that presence is powerful. And though we have the ability today in the movie making industry to create a sci-fi image along a Revelation chapter 1 and chapter 4 and chapter, and they could bring it in close as they could, as best as they can. If it's not anointed with power, we're not going to catch it, folks. And these are real sightings anointed by the Holy Spirit to write. They are written for us to impact our soul and our heart, to transform us, to put in our mind a new imagination, a new image. It's good to use your imagination. As Joel used to say, use your sanctified imagination. So when you're going through the day and that issue comes along, you imagine this powerful being, Jesus, with a sword coming out of his mouth. Eyes are blazing. He's glowing with light and fire. You're drawn to him, and yet he's all powerful. And that's the God that you're looking to and you're serving today. What happens along with these scriptures here? Let's go on. It says in verse 17, do not be afraid. He said, I'm the first and the last. Verse 18, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which you are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. He is the chief shepherd over the churches. He is the Lord over living waters. He's the chief shepherd over living waters. Lord, we pray this scripture that We see you as the first and the last. We see you as the living one, the one that was dead. Behold, you're alive forever, and you hold the authority over death and hell. Lord God, there's no power greater than you. Even in our death, we have victory because you hold the keys of death and Hades. I want to go on and look at a few verses in Revelation chapter 3, but what's happening in chapter 2 and 3 is that these seven churches that this Jesus has got a message for each one. He goes and he has, as he gives a message to each one, he even reminds them who he is. I'm the first and last. I'm the Holy One. I'm the one that's still alive. He reminds them. And in the last church, the seventh church of Laodicea, he corrects them and he gets very blunt with them. He says, you're full of pride. You can't even see clearly. You're actually wretched and poor and naked. And he says, but I rebuke, I discipline those I love. That's why I'm telling it as it is. I'm telling you straight. I'm not letting you live blind like this. And your pride is clouding how things really are in your life right now. And he says, I discipline and rebuke the ones I love. And then verse 17, he says this. Excuse, wrong verse. I'm sorry. We're in Revelation chapter 3. That's where we are right now, chapter 3. And we're going to start reading at verse 20. And he says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus talking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Wow. This being that's got a flaming sword and his eyes are blazing and he's glowing everywhere, he's knocking at your door. He said, I want to come in and dine with you. Dine with you in a Middle Eastern culture is the most hospitable, friendship-building, trust-building thing you can do in that culture. They really do even today. There are some restaurants, I've eaten one in Jerusalem, that they don't have chairs. They have the pillows around these little tables, and you lounge like they did for ancient times, and you lounge together. It's not a quick meal. It's not fast food. You're building a relationship. And so this mighty powerful being is saying, hey, I want to just come in and dine with you. And you with me, verse 21, he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. And I also overcame, and as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Folks, that is your conclusion. That is your end result. That is your vision, your goal, that you're going to overcome. And he has this invitation. We get to sit on his throne. We get to sit as an overcomer, as a victor with Christ. Because he's gone before us. He did the work. He took our sins on the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. He defeated death and raised from the grave. And he gives that to us. And if we don't quit, if we persevere, we will have experiences of overcoming and victory to the point we'll get to sit on his throne. I just love that. I want to go on and switch to another God sighting. It's in Revelation chapter 4. But it switches to the Father. And what's happening is the Apostle John is now taking to a door. And he hears this voice like a trumpet. And he says, come up here. I want to show you what must take place after these things. And I'm going to start reading now in verse chapter 2 of Revelation 4. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on it, on the throne. Verse 3, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashings of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. God gives a description of his throne. When Isaiah sees something very, really the same thing in Isaiah chapter 6, he sees the throne. He is completely undone. In a sense of he doesn't know what to do but just cry out for repentance for him and his people. I'm a man of unclean lips and among an unclean people. And he falls to the ground. He hit, and they bring to him a coal to his lips to cleanse him. But there is this other realm, folks, that exists right now. It is it's an eternal fact. It is a reality that despite the stresses that you're under right now in this unique time in 2020, there exists right now. And you can step into that. You can choose, Lord, help me see. Help me remember. I live in an eternal environment, an eternal sphere. And that's where you are. And you want me to remember this. That you are on your throne. And that you shine like jewels and emeralds and diamonds. There is a sparkling when you look at an incredible, valuable jewel. They're made to sparkle. They're made to capture your attention and look at their beauty. They shine. They're brilliant. They shine light all around them. And this is God. He is like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. So the sardius is this deep red that's a burning desire and mercy coming out of God. The jasper stone can be just polished, brilliant colors coming out. The emerald hue is green, representing life and mercy. And there's a rainbow. And you know how fun it is to see a rainbow. Imagine the first rainbow on earth in Genesis chapter 9 after Noah's flood, and it gave them promise and hope and colors they haven't seen before. It was so uplifting to them. Well, let me tell you, God's throne has a rainbow in it constantly. You look at it, you're just lifted up. You're just built up. You're like, oh, this is beautiful. This is awesome. This is amazing. And guess what? That rainbow was there before Genesis 9, Noah's rainbow. This is an eternal rainbow. It's been there in ancient past, present, and future. His throne represents his authority, his power. He's almighty. Words like magnificent, words like splendor, words like gorgeous brilliance is it can't match what we will be seeing in reality, but exists today. And I want to tell you, I know I'm trying, but I know the angels, your guardian angels, are loving this message. The angels are telling me, this is the best message you've preached for years, Stephen. Why did you wait so long? And you are right. It is like that. It is so hard to put in words, and my heart longs for it right now. My heart longs to see his face shine. My heart longs to be a part of it right now, but I'm assigned to you. Exactly. Out of the throne, this power is, there's flashings of lightning and sounds of thunder. Folks, I want you, the next thunder you hear, the next lightning you see, I want you to think of the throne room. I want you to pray right then. Oh God, your glory, your power, that thunder scared us. We had one the other day that was in the front yard and the cats jumped in the air and Delisa jumped in the air. I didn't, of course. I was calm the whole time. But it's like this power of God, this is just little tidbits of his power. Lightning and thundering is exploding off his throne all the time. For us to feel his power, for us to realize, oh, who am I? What am I? Oh, God, forgive me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Forgive me. I repent of everything. I'll list them right now. I can't think of them all. And you're just like, you're so different. You're so other. You're so perfect, perfectly pure, perfectly holy. And you're there and I'm down here. Oh, God, have mercy on me. I can't believe I'm here. I'm not dead. What mercy. I'm not dead. This is where we can live. And as Julia said, what was it? Crumbles. Farfel. The things that are bugging us and distracting us away from prayer. It's just farfel. It's this crumbling little mess on the floor. Just sweep it out and put it in the trash can. It's small compared to the God that we live and serve and who is imparting to us His glory. What do these creatures do around him? Let's jump to another verse. Verse 8 of Revelation 4. What are they doing? What would you do if you were there? Let's see what they're doing. And verse 8 says, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and is to come. What do you say in your worship time? Do you bother to have worship time, or do you go straight to, Lord, help us here, help me meet this need, meet that need? And it's good to pray those, but let's get our eyes on who we're praying to first. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. He's magnificent. He's on another plane. It's called transcendent is the big theological term they use. And that means He's up here, you're down here. You're not even on the same plane. You're a creation from this Creator. And what love just of Him coming to earth and being fully man and fully God. What love, what sacrifice. But He's the Holy One. He's beyond us. He's a distinction of great brilliance and magnificence. How about others? What do others say? What are those 24 elders around the throne? What do they say? And it's not clear who they are. Are they the 12 apostles and represented from the 12 tribes? Are they just redeemed representatives? Are they? Maybe there's a rotation basis and we can have a day on one of the 24 thrones. But what are they saying? Verse 11 of Revelation 4. Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. So God, help us to get this spiritual eyes of faith. Eyes that don't just stay in the realm of the natural, but stay in the reality of the eternal. Lord, give us spiritual eyes that we would say, worthy are you to receive all glory and power. And because of your will, I'm here on this earth. And because of your will, I'm here. You've given me purpose and you're empowering me. Lord, help us see with eyes of faith, be eternal beings. We are created as eternal beings. I'm going to ask the praise team to come on back up, and I'm going to refer back to another scripture that we've already looked at, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. But let's realize that God somehow, even though He's transcendent, though He's on another plane, though He's the Creator, we're just a creature created by Him in His image and likeness. But He bridged the distance. He spread the gap. And He's the only God in all the deities that claim to be God. There's only one. But claim that there are these other false gods, that He can be both the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and yet at the same time, knock on your door. Knock knocking your door. Well, hold it. No. I got to clean up the mess first. I've got to clean up my sins first. I don't want you to see this. I've got to clean up, the lack of prayer. I've got to clean up. My Bible's got dust in it. Hold on, don't come in yet. I'll be in a minute. No. I want to come in right now the way you are. Don't let shame let me in. Don't let fear of failure or fear of the past and your failures. Don't let me in now. I want to dine with you right now. I want to be with you right now. Don't try to clean up the mess. I'll take care of that. I just want to be with you. I want to be close. Dining means have fellowship and build relationship. Lounge around the table. That's the table they were thinking about, was the one that you lounge around, and I want to lounge with you. And then in the next verse 20, that's Revelation 3, 20, 21. And he who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne. With me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know, it's just hard to imagine that. Is this like, a little kid that wants to sit up in daddy's lap or sit in the chair, watch the ball game next to you, and you're finding space and you're squinching in next to this? I mean, what is that like? But he wants us to be identified with his victory. And so these are the take-homes I want you to take with you. Go ahead and play behind me. Number one, in your daily life, in your situations this week, look to the Son, the God of heaven. Use your imagination. Read these passages over and over. Get them in your mind, what God is like in heaven. Look to him with spiritual eyes, eternal eyes. Number two, see yourself with the King. Either he's knocking on your door and this God with fiery eyes is sitting at your table, or you're on his throne with him. But imagine yourself with the King, because you have been given a kingdom. You've been given a purpose. You've been given the empowerment to live obedient lives to him. Number three, walk in victory above the stress. Don't let these stresses be built, these fears be built up. That's what fear does. It builds it up bigger than it actually it is. It's small. It's little crumbs. Let's just wait on the Lord right now. Holy Spirit, help us see the Son, see the Father as you've written, as you've wanting us to see. Lord, right now, even now, before we close and into this week, Lord God, just let's go ahead and go. I'm going to ask this worship song just to come forth, and let's just see God for who he is.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. I will adore you.
Oh God, We surrender all things that are trying to pull us down, Lord, to try and distract us, Lord God, disrupt us and our focus of you, Lord. We surrender the things. We turn them over to you. We repent of sins and lazinesses and selfishness, decisions that pull us away from you, Lord God. Lord, you deserve so much more. You deserve all of our mind, home, all of our heart, all of our strength, Lord God. Lord, we pray, Lord God, this week we can just stomp on those crumbs of issues and problems and keep our focus on you. And Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that your face is shining like the sun and it warms us. We're drawn to it, Lord, deep in our heart, even in our dullest moments, the deepest parts of our heart long for you. Lord God, we pray that you refresh that and restir that up again, Lord God. That we long for you, Lord God, and we put priority to setting aside time, priority in our mind to pray during the day, to lift up things during the day, to imagine you in the throne room, Lord Jesus, as you are, and the King as you are, and the beauty of your rainbow, the beauty of your emerald hue, Lord God, this brilliance of stones just shining, the brilliant light all around. Oh, great and almighty God, have mercy on us as a people, Lord God. Have mercy on us in Kentucky, in the United States, Lord God. We humble ourselves and we're among a people of unclean lips, Lord God. Oh, Father, Lord, we repent as a nation. We ask you have mercy on us. Lord, bring us, Lord God, righteous leaders, Lord Jesus, that can protect, that can rule with justice and truth, Lord Jesus. Father God, we pray, Lord, that we, despite the result of the election, that our trust rests in you more than anything else, Lord God. That we don't put a greater dependence on anything else but you, Lord God. But you will be on the throne on November 2nd and on November 3rd and November 4th, as you always have been, as the Ancient of Days, Lord God. So, Lord, you are strong. You are right. You are almighty. You're the living one forevermore. And so, Lord, we enter that eternal life, that eternal perspective, Lord God, no matter the results, Lord God. We're in Christ, and we are in your kingdom, Lord God. So, Lord, we're good. We're good. We're good. We're in Christ. Lord, I ask for a blessing as we go into this week for our church family and all our friends and those watching, Lord God, that we have more than enough grace for what is ahead. And Lord God, that we are overcomers. That Lord, you have conquered all things and we sit with you on the throne. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. He reigns over all things in your life. He reigns over all things in our nation and our world. He reigns. He's a king that knows how to reign over the universe. He's a king that is not flustered, but his will is coming to pass throughout the days that look so unsure and uncertain, but his will is coming to pass. His glorious will. And he has fiery angels, he has guardian angels, and he has us, his army, his treasured beloved ones, doing his will. Thank you, Lord God. We walk in your victory as overcomers in your kingdom. Be blessed. Have a great week. We have a phone number available online. There is someone available for the next 30 minutes here on Sunday morning for you to call in and receive prayer. We want to be a house and a people of prayer. And we'll have people here on either side this morning available for prayer as well. And they'll take you into another room. Hang around. We want to be available for prayer. Have a great week. Love you guys. Feel free to keep worshiping. They're going to keep singing this song. So feel free to stay. You don't have to go anywhere.